The Meat Improv!
Hello and welcome to The Meat Improv with me, Josh Simpson.
And me, Jake Jabbour.
The Meat is the improv and storytelling podcast where we bring on comedian guests to tell true meaty stories from their lives. And then what do we do, Jake?
We use those stories for inspiration for long-form comedic scenes.
That's right. Improvised comedic scenes. That's it. That's the spiel. We got a Patreon and we got t-shirts. You can get the Patreon stuff at patreon.com/themeatimprov. We have a whole backlog of episodes where Jake and I talk about improv stuff, technique and all that. And then we have a store on TeePublic where you can get a shirt with our logo on it. And they're cheap shirts. Just remind you of that again. So even if you hate us, it's a cheap shirt. That's all. That's the plugs. Let's get to the podcast. Today we have two very special guests. We have a returning guest. I don't even know. Four timer now, perhaps?
No, this is my third time, I think.
Okay. Well, yeah. He can't be perfect, but you just heard his voice. You know him from UCB's Flap Jackson, from the I Funk By Myself Funny or Die video.
It's a well-known piece of mine. Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, Desperados on Netflix. It's Scott Rogers, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, it's me.
Hello, Scott.
That's true. Yeah, look up I Funk By Myself, the Funkadoodles. I hope it's still online.
I think it is. Might have
taken it down.
Yeah, I looked
for it. I got to get it back up. That's one of the best things I've ever done.
I agree. Sure. Sure. Our second guest is a first timer from Lotions 11, a team called Lemon Pepper Wet. Leonard Smith, welcome to the show. Good to have you.
Hey, what's going on? It's Leonard Smith Jr., not Leonard Smith, the former football player.
Okay.
I just want to say, if you're prepping or looking for the show, make sure to put like comedy in the tagline or something, because the results will be shocking. You
know? a lot of lemon smiths in the world. There's definitely not that.
A lot of meat. Yeah. When you look up the meat, just put comedy in there or something, you know. You
definitely need to do that, even in a podcast, sir. Well, cool. Welcome to the show. Good to have you both
thanks,
on.
Guys.
Thanks for having me.
We're doing this yet again, just another one of the pandemic Zoom situations. I'm in Florida. Everyone else is in their house.
Yeah, but Jake, you're in Destin, Florida, you said before this.
I'm in Destin. Wow. Yes, Destin, Florida. The guy I'm staying with, or the dad I'm staying with, I should say, my girlfriend's dad, says it's LA, Lower Alabama.
Oh. Calls it LA.
Basically, yes.
Thanks for correcting, Josh. You should say the dad you're staying with. You should say, the dad I'm staying with.
Well, it's a dad joke. But, you know, whatever.
Funny.
You should get that, Scott. You're a dad. You should get that joke. Well,
funny dad jokes. I did get it. I got that. I did get it. I am a dad and I got it.
If you ever do a dad joke in the podcast, just let us know after that that's what it was, so we all take note of it.
Yeah. I'll do #dad joke, and I'll do the kind of finger. You guys can see me on video. The fingers that Jimmy Fallon and Jonah Hill did, and then that classic funny sketch they did where they were like, or maybe it was Timberlake or something. Some funny Jimmy Fallon sketch.
You know, I think you're on a dad section of the internet because I haven't seen
it. Y'all aren't going on and Googling Jimmy Fallon to see what's funny from the night before? Yeah. Is that just a dad thing? Is that a mom thing? I bet it's a mom thing. Dads are Googling Colbert. Moms are still Googling Fallon because he's cute.
Who's Googling Jimmy Kimmel?
Just
Adam Carolla.
the rest of the people, I guess. Spinsters. Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. So I want to ask Jake about something because he mentioned it to me briefly, but I don't really know anything about it. Jake, you recently won a contest. Is this correct?
Yeah, I think it's a contest. Maybe it's maybe a giveaway is the better way to put it. A contest makes it seem like I did something.
Okay.
But I just entered in a giveaway for a little staycation package in at the Hoxton. This is probably why they had me win, because they knew I would promote it on my podcast. they get a lot of looks. Yeah. So I'm after this, I'm going downtown and I'm going to stay two nights at the hotel, the Hoxton. They gave me a little pool package. I got some swim trunks and some sunglasses and some wine spritzers.
Damn, that's perfect timing, because it's going to be hot this weekend.
I know, it worked out great.
That's awesome. The Hoxton, you say? I haven't been there.
It's great.
Oh, the Hoxton. I don't think I've been to any hotel. I'm poor. Like, who pays this much money to stay in a room for a night?
I do. I do.
That's what you did for your birthday, right?
Yep, I did it for my birthday last year. I found out about the Hoxton last year because they had a pop-up Christmas bar.
Okay.
Nice.
And you know, I was trying to get into the holiday spirit, and that's how I discovered it. And then I got on their little email list, and you know, I'm sitting in front of the computer all day. So anytime there's like, I'm literally entering probably those dummy email giveaways, like with increasing regularity now that I'm just sitting at home. And last week they were like, you won. I was like, I did. Fantastic. So
that's awesome. Well,
what they didn't tell you was you were the only entry.
That's what someone else said. They were like, you probably won because nobody does those things.
I've signed up to try to get some Clippers tickets before, you know, try like you can win season tickets or good tickets or something like that. But then you end up on the phone list. So I mean, 3 weeks ago, someone called me. I didn't know the number. I still picked up. And it was some guy from the Clippers. And I ended up talking to him for like 45 minutes about the Clippers.
With your kids like pulling at your legs.
No, I was out in the garage. And because
your dad's
well, because, you know, they were like, we're calling all our, you know, fans to, they're trying to gauge interest in like, are people going to come back to see the game live? You know, like with how long the pandemic's going, they're looking at a pretty quick turnaround for the next NBA season. And so I think they're trying to gauge if people want to go to games or not. And so we were talking about that. It, of course, eventually was like, so we have some packages, you know, they're still trying to like sell you on it in the moment. And I had to put the kibosh on that, but
So you kept that guy on the phone.
Well, it bummed me out a little bit because I was like, I thought we were just talking about the Clippers. And now you're trying to tell me something. I thought they were just calling the fans to chat.
Just a little community outreach.
Why not? Be like, it's been tough, the pandemic. Yeah, I want to see the Clippers in person again, but I don't know how it's going right now. See you later, you know, but I'm still out there.
And I'm in that same boat. Where like if I get a number from an LA area code, if I get a call from an LA area code, like a little bit of my heart's like, it could be a,
it could be my big break.
Yeah, exactly. Like, hello. And I'm like, what, do you want solar panels for your house? I'm like, I don't have a house.
But this dad I'm staying with does. I'll put him on.
Yeah. He'd probably be interested. I'm trying to think of like any contests I've won. I used to call into radio stations to win stuff. Did you ever do that? That's anyone cute. Else?
I think when once I was like twice. In middle school, yeah, a couple times.
I did that.
This is when I was very young, but this is maybe early 90s. MTV still had this thing called Most Wanted. And so it was like, this is even before TRL, Total Request Live with Carson Daly, of course. Even before that, they just had, it was like Most Wanted, and so you could call into this MTV number and request a video. And I remember specifically I used to call in and request the song Dead Horse by Guns N' Roses. There's a song called Garden of Eden. Do you know that song, Garden of Eden? It's off of Use Your Illusion. Showing my age here. That's what I would call in. There was a fun video where it was like Axl Rose singing in a barn, and it was like all sped up. And it was like a fast song. It was before I knew I was all into punk, you know? And so I was like, this song's cool. It's like, lost in the Garden of Eden. Lost in the, I probably can't sing it. You know, they'll ban this episode if I sing this whole song. But yeah.
Not our first run in with Axl, so
yeah. That was my call-in experience.
That's not even a contest. That's just a wish. a request.
Yeah.
I called in once on like this rock station on a Sunday night to win tickets to, I think, what was called the Freddie Jones something band, and it was just like a jazz band, and I had no idea who it was, but I won. I won the tickets, and I was like in eighth grade or something like that, and I really got to look this up, because I remember like the only other time I heard of this band was my calculus teacher had a poster of it. Freddie Jones band. Let's see.
You heard it on the radio and that made you go, oh, I should.
I just was doing any contest I could. I just wanted to go to a concert.
You just wanted to be a winner.
That was around the, yeah, it's just, I think it's just a bunch of white people playing jazz. So that's what I went to.
Speaking of a bunch of white people, there was a Chick-fil-A opening in Decatur, Georgia, when I was a senior. And it's like, they had this thing. It's like when they open a new Chick-fil-A, the first 100 people who like stay there and camp sleep overnight outside the Chick-fil-A get free Chick-fil-A for a year, which is like a free number one for 52 free number ones, basically. So like a meal.
One a week.
Yeah. And of course, me being a senior in high school, I was late because I was getting high, and I wasn't one of the first 100 people, but people can leave. If they leave, they auction off the spots of people who don't make it the first 100. So it's like incentive for more people to come and stay. And there's like, they give you free food, and like, it's a whole thing, like trying to stay up all night. And I didn't win the auction, but I guess I was just so lovable and maybe endearing that I convinced like of the people who won, and I ended up with like maybe 30, 35 coupons. Like, people were like, all right, I have 52. I'll give you one. And someone else gave me one. Another person gave me one. And I parlayed those coupons into like rides and free weed and shit like that.
So you traded up.
Yeah, I traded up. Bartering, awesome. Baby. I was out there bartering.
Yeah, barter.
It's like one of those like chat. I feel like that's something that's like those things you hear on the internet where someone's like, I started off with $1.
I traded that dollar. Now I started off with yeah.
I remember that specifically reading about that. I think it was in, I'll show my age, Scott. I think it was in Maxim magazine or maybe their spinoff stuff.
Oh, hell yeah. That's not showing your age. I'm still looking at Maxims.
You're their only subscriber. And I read an article where a guy like used a paperclip to trade up to a house. I think the big thing that,
I just said a paperclip.
Yeah, a paperclip. But the big, I think like the winning thing was like he knew somebody who knew Corbin Bernstein or something. So he was able to like.
Corbin Bernson, the actor?
That's him. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was like a factor where he traded the paperclip for a pen and then the pen for something. And then it was like. He knew somebody who knew the Corbin and the, like traded for a round of golf or whatever. And it's like, technically you started with the round of golf. Like, yeah. Kind of thing.
The pen didn't really come into play.
Bernson.
Was it one of those pens where you like you flip it upside down and the clothes come off the down? That was the pen.
Now that I'd trade for a house.
Anytime you want.
You know, Corbin Bernson, he was in the Major League movies. He used to be on the show L.A. Law, but he is now prominent in the faith-based film industry.
Really?
One time I accidentally auditioned for the movie Christian Mingle, Inspired by the dating app Christian Mingle, directed by Corbin Burnson. I just did this. Like, honestly, it's like you get an audition and you see the scene, these sides. I did it. I had a weird feeling about it. I was like, this can't be totally based off of this. But sure enough, it ended up being a movie starring that gal from Party of Five, Lacey Chabert, I think is her name, and directed by Corbin Burnson. I have a big fascination with like evangelical Christian stuff because I was in that world when I was a young teen. And so I still kind of watch because there's such a huge Christian entertainment market.
Yeah, it's lucrative.
And sure, you know, you get people like Corbin Burnson, like, I don't know how genuine or not he is, but it's, you see actors like that all the time where they're like, I'm willing to be in this movie that I know is a freaking Christian movie. You know, it's like, it's about a retired army vet fireman who finds faith with other men at a retreat, you know, and it's like, there's freaking Corbin Burnson and Dean Cain, you know. It's like, these are movies. And they're like, that's not a specific one, but it might as well be.
Improv! Well, welcome to my humble abode. He opens the door to like a huge mansion.
Yeah, humble, I'll say. This is an amazing home you have here.
Yes. Yes, I know. It's a pretty amazing story, actually.
Oh, is it? I'll be the judge of that, Jeffrey. Come on. I can't wait to hear it. You brought us here, and gosh, even the entryway is pristine, Jeffrey.
Yeah, I mean, well, we have people take care of that. It's a, it's a quite a life. I know we haven't seen each other really since high school, but. It's quite a life I built for myself. It started with a dog turd.
Come again?
It started with a dog turd.
What started with a dog turd?
Oh, me building my life to this point.
That dog turd that they shoved into your backpack during lunch in high school?
Yeah. Same one. It was an old white dog turd. Remember
the dog turd that got you the nickname dog turd?
Wait a minute. You're saying, yeah. You're saying that dog turd that we started calling you dog turd Jeffrey.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's the one.
That brought you to this home, and now you want to what? Tell us the whole fucking story.
Ideally, because you guys shoved the dog turd in my backpack, so I wanted to show you what I made of that. So,
okay.
Okay, Scott. Okay, Reggie.
Is there any lunch going to be here or what?
Yes, there'll be lunch. Can I just show you? Good. Can I tell you my story of how I built this? God.
Yeah.
It was still annoying.
I only have an hour, but sure. Go ahead.
Did this start before or after you were crying because of the dog turd in your backpack?
After.
Okay.
After.
He's snippy.
After
still a little snipper. Like you've always
been.
I'm not
a little snipper. I'm rich now.
It doesn't mean you're not a snipper. Jeff Bezos, worth $200 billion, still a fucking dork.
A little snipper.
Excuse me, guys. I don't mean to interrupt. I'm just one of those people that cleans the house. And I just want to let you know the East
Yikes,
Wing, the contractors.
Who refers to you as that?
Mr. DT.
Mr. Dog Turd refers to you as one of those people.
It's Bezos.
Sorry,
it's Bezos.
Don't cut him off. What were you going to say?
Oh, no, I was just letting Mr. DT know that the East sector of the wing, the contractors haven't showed up. They were supposed to be encasing that statue of you holding dog turds. And I just wanted to let you know. I will now walk away. I know you can be a bit snippy. I apologize for interrupting once again.
He's calm. Thank you for the news. Bezos, not DT. I don't know who started that nickname. It started with a dog turd. It's not like Donald Trump.
DT. Dog turd.
I didn't choose that. Again, come to my kitchen.
Yeah. What do you got?
You said you were hungry. I can have anything made for you. Anything made for you. All you have to do here, put on this headset. Think of something. It'll show up in this dumb waiter right here.
Okay. I'll think of an old white dog turd.
Bon appetit. Opens the dumbwaiter. What are you doing this for?
You said.
Why are you doing this?
Because it's funny, mainly for us.
Well, now you have to eat it, okay?
Because what else do we have? You've taken all of our wealth. The poor are dying. We have a pandemic going on. They're suffering. You're sitting here with all your dumbass inventions. You're still a fucking dork. And so, yeah, the least you could do is be reminded that a lot of your success has to do with a piece of freaking dog turd. We're gonna take you down, Bezos.
Yeah, now I can't stop thinking of dog turds. They just start piling in the dump.
Hey, come on. I'm gonna have to get someone to sanitize the dumbwaiter if you keep putting white turds in it.
I'm not trying to do it intentionally. You put this headset on me, and then you started talking, and all I can think of is little dog turd Jeffrey.
Stop it.
Bezos' phone rings. His phone rings.
1 second. Taps his ear.
Mambo number 5. This is ringtone.
Hey, Mr. D2. Just want to let you know, we're tracking the workers in the Bakersfield plant, and
yes,
they're trying to use the bathroom. They're trying to put turds in toilets, and we don't have time for that. We're losing cents on the dollar every second.
Well, do something about it.
I will fire the entire plant.
Don't fire them. Punish them.
Okay,
dog turds in all their backpacks.
Well, done. Thank you, sir. Once again, I apologize for interrupting whatever you're doing. I know you can be a bit snippy.
Not snippy. Who says everyone I'm knows. Snippy?
Just look God, at
this
you.
Dumbwaiter is. Wait, there's a. Okay, who okay, thought of the Maxim magazine with Christina Aguilera in it?
Who didn't?
All right, let's get back into the meat part of the podcast where a guest shares a story. Leonard, you're going first. Talk to us.
Man, my story is, I feel like funny now, but in the moment, not so much. You know, we're out here in LA, I'm out here in LA, and I don't really know shit about LA or outside of LA. I'm always working. I've been here for 4 years and I've never really been to Joshua Tree or Palm Springs or anything like that. But a couple of years ago, me and some coworkers, we rented a cabin and went out to Big Bear. Mm. You know, it was November. It was a good time. It's going to be fun. We were having a lot of fun. We indeed had fun. And we were there. First day goes normal. We're having a great time, cabin, drinking. Second day, we're like, let's go to the lake. It was a dry time. There was a drought, you know, so the water was kind of low in a few areas. But we found a lake. And they were renting boats. They had those like pontoon boats, the flat mm-hmm. boat, pontoon boats, big boats. And there were about eight of us, I think. And so it was me, one gentleman, and I think like four or five ladies. And
okay,
so of course I was like, let me drive the boat. You know what I'm saying? I am from the South, so I am all about that lake life. If we're going to get drunk near some water, it's on a lake. You know, we don't have beaches to go to really. And,
sure.
So I'm driving the boat. We're out there. You have to sign a contract and do all this stuff before they give you the boat. And then the contract clearly states you are not allowed to get off this boat and get in the water. No getting in the water. Oh. Got to stay on the boat, which was kind of surprising. So we sign it. We're all like, okay, we're going to get in the water. Fuck these people. They won't know. So we're on the boat. We're in the middle of the lake. Drop the anchor. Everybody's shy. Nobody wants to get in the water. Me being me, I'm like, man, fuck you guys. And I was like, you guys are some bitches. And I just jump right in, cannonball into the water. It's cold. Goddamn. It was shockingly cold. And I was like, goddamn. Everybody was worried about the temperature of the water. I let them know it was cold. So nobody really decided to jump in. And I was like, I was out there for about a minute. So I'm like, all right, well, fuck. I guess nobody's going to jump in. I'll get back on the boat. Swim to the boat. I'm like, whoa, hold on, wait a second. Where the fuck is the ladder? There's no ladder on the boat at all. No one can drop a ladder to me. Nothing. And it's a pontoon boat. So it's metal on the sides, like the hull's sticking out.
Like a foot and a half off the butt. Water.
Yeah, you guys don't know me, but I'm a big guy. I'm a large gentleman. Wow. So I'm like, okay, let me try to get back on this boat. And I don't have any traction. I don't have any, like, anything to hold myself up. And my big ass can't use my just arm strength to pull myself out of a large body of water. So things are getting a little tense. At first, it seemed kind of funny. People were laughing. It was comical. But then I was like, okay, guys, this is not a laughing matter anymore. It's kind of serious. We're in the middle of the lake. I'm not swimming back to the coast. I'm starting to drift away from the boat.
Oh, no.
They're trying to throw the life, the vest thing attached to a rope to me. And, like, they keep missing. Attempt two, attempt three.
No.
Or I finally grab it, and I'm just sitting there floating away. So someone tries to drive the boat. They're driving to me. Damn near hit me with the boat. And I'm sitting there like, okay, I'm about to die in the middle of this lake in Big Bear. Of course, black man drowns in lake. Like, the only person who gets in the lake probably in the month, and he drowns. So I'm like, fuck, man. I'm starting to freak out. And they're like, we're going to call somebody. We got to call the cop. We got to. And I'm like, I don't know how long I can last in this water. So I'm like, all right, fuck it. I'm going to try again. My friend Brooks, thank you. He was trying to help me. He was trying to pull me up. He's a skinny fellow. He tried his best. He can't pull me up. So he's pulling. I'm trying. And I'm just like, it's basically fight or flight at this moment. And I like somehow get my leg up to like, there's like a bracketing, like fence type area around the boat. And I just like pull my leg up and I just lock it in. And I put all my weight on my leg to support myself and pull myself up. And the adrenaline is rushing. It's going. And I pull myself up and I'm just like, man, my heart was beating. I get on the boat and fuck. I'm like, oh, thank God I didn't die. So we're driving the boat back. I'm a little shook. I have to drive the boat because nobody can really drive the boat. So I'm like driving the boat back, just like thinking about all my past transgressions and if I was going to go to heaven or hell, if it was real or not. And I'm pulling the boat back in and I'm fucking up. I'm hitting the guys like, no, don't go this way. And I guess I'm still shook. And I'm hitting the dock on like both sides and shit, like trying to get it back in this little parking space. And, after the adrenaline wore off, I had like a limp for like 3 days, 3-4 days from me putting all the weight on my leg and like my knee. Like I'd like put my leg over top of one railing and around the other and just like locked it in. Like basically if I like put enough weight on it, probably would have broke my leg. But I was like, I'm not dying. I'll have a broken leg. But fuck my leg up, limp for 3 days. But I'm here to tell a story. I didn't die, guys. I did not die.
Do you know why they said not to get in the water? Is it because there wasn't a ladder on the boat?
I think that probably was a part of it. Like, and I feel like it has to be, right? Like,
yeah.
I guess they don't have a ladder on it to make sure that people don't jump in the water, or I don't know. They didn't say anything about there not being a ladder on the boat before we got out there. So
they should have a ladder, I think, even just.
I know. I just assumed all boats have ladders. Every boat I've ever been on has had a ladder on it. And
yeah. That's probably why, because they knew it was, they could get sued. They ran out of ladders on their boat.
Hey, listen, those ladders cost an extra $49.95. When you account for 15 boats, that's a lot of money, okay?
I was just spent a lot of time with a pontoon boat. At a lake in Wisconsin. And yeah, it's no laughing matter. Like without that ladder, there's like,
yeah,
I think that when I was a kid, I used to like challenge myself to do it, but like, it's like a good 2 feet off the foot and a half, 2 feet off the water, something like that. But also what's the point of going on a lake if you can't get in the water? Like that's right? Like kind of half the thing is to jump in. I don't know.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah,
that's my story, guys. It's a little disturbing. I apologize.
It's a great story. It's a great story.
What did you return? Like, was this just a day trip or did you do multiple days on the boat or?
There was no more getting on the water after that. Everybody was kind of shook. It kind of like ruined the mood, but I was like, all right, guys, no, I'm cool. Like, don't let it affect our next day and a half here. We were only there for like 3 days. Something like 3-4 days. And yeah, we just went about our day. And I think I just got drunk and sat in my hot tub after that. A lot of weed. My leg hurt.
It's a bummer that nobody got in the water with you.
Freeze?
I don't know. Did
yeah, it was. I was very bummed nobody got in the water, but I guess it was a blessing in disguise because you know we all wouldn't have been able to get in the boat if we all jumped in the water.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
I haven't been to I've been. You were saying in the beginning of this, like you haven't been to Joshua Tree or whatever, just Big Bear. I've been to Palm Springs, but I've never been to Joshua Tree either. Been to Big Bear before. One time with Jake.
Big Bear's lovely.
Oh, that's right. What'd you say, Scott?
I said Big Bear's lovely.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of methamphetamine in through there in San Bernardino in the, you know, but there's some beautiful country up there. Big Bear Lake can be really beautiful too. Joshua Tree, that's a great spot too. You got to go to Joshua Tree. You know, there's a lot of desert out there because my wife's from outside of Pittsburgh. When her friends came and visit California, everyone's always interested in seeing the desert because that topography, you know, doesn't really exist elsewhere. So I think, you know, they're not as impressed with the mountains and trees of a Big Bear as they are with the flat desert lands. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Joshua Tree is beautiful.
Yeah. I've been meaning to go and I've had this bag of mushrooms since like the beginning of quarantine and I haven't gone. I'm going to do it. It's going to happen.
Did you buy them when quarantine started or did you have them and then quarantine happened?
Yeah. So I had some mushrooms right before quarantine started and I had them for like a year maybe. And I never did them. I never had the chance to. And I went to this Thundercat concert and I took them.
Smart.
And it was like literally his second to last show before everything shut down. And they didn't work. I don't know. Maybe because I kept them in my dresser and not in the freezer. But they just didn't work. And I was very upset about it. Yeah, so, cool. I was like, all right, I got it.
A long time. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, I got a trip. I need a trip. So when quarantine happened, I was like, shit, I'm about to have a month or two of free time. And let me get these motherfucking mushrooms. And I got them. And I still haven't taken them.
Mm. You know, I'm a fan of just doing a little sometimes, you know, sometimes we build it up to be like, I got to eat all these things and have a whole quote unquote crazy trip, which is can be fun, too. But every now and again, you can just chomp one or two. And then you're just kind of like, hey, you know, total. You see it. You see the connections and anxiety can go down because that thing, too. Like sometimes if I eat too much, it's like, whoa, you know, like I got to
freak yourself out,
go into another realm and be there for a long time, as opposed to doing a little dance with, you know, the nature spirits that connect us.
I feel like I'm not in a place to do mushrooms right now.
That's what also is like, am I in the right mind state to do these? Like,
yeah.
You got to be in the right situation.
But for sure.
Maybe Joshua Tree. Cool. Let's do some scenes.
Hey, your name's Joshua.
It is.
And you've never been. It's your name, your tree.
Wait, you
it's like
own
me not
Joshua
going to
tree?
Scottsdale, Arizona.
I don't.
Or me don't never know. Climbing Jacob's ladder.
Exactly. We were all thinking it.
Or Leonard. You know, his name is
Mount. There's a place called Leonard's Keys on Magnolia in Burbank. I've taken a photo with it.
You sure nobody wants to get in the water with me? It's pretty nice. Somebody join me in the water.
We're good.
What's the temperature of the water right now?
It's freezing cold. Don't you want to join me in the water? Come on. We came up here for a little boat trip.
I don't like cold water.
I'm taking off my swimsuit.
You don't have to do that, Jake.
You don't know how to sell things.
You should probably like hold on to your swimsuit. It's floating away. Your swimsuit is literally floating away.
Uh-oh, somebody better come in and get my swimsuit. I'm just a little naked boy in the water.
What is this, dude?
What are you doing?
What's going on? You want to talk about something, Jake? Yeah, you're going to tell us?
I thought you were going to play poker this weekend.
I began trying to take the long saver thing to get his shorts back, but not him. Just, I'm just trying to, let's at least get you clothed again. This is ridiculous. No
Come
one wants
on.
This.
Who wants to jump in?
And do what?
I'm going to see how far I could dive down. You see my little butt and then my leg.
God,
what's going on with Jake right now?
I don't know. I don't know.
Oh,
who's counting? How long was that? How long was I under?
Not okay, long. Jake,
6 seconds.
You literally went down and came right back up, Jake.
It's freezing.
What's your point? What's your end game here, pal? What's the end game?
I want to
just showed us your butthole. So
I want to have a nice time with my rugby teammates on a little boat trip. Okay. Who wants to join me in the water?
None of us, pal.
Don't you want to come in the water and pee with me?
You what?
Cut to rugby practice. Cut to rugby practice. Jake, still, why are you peeing on the field? Jake, what are you?
He's still pretending to swim naked. He's dancing around naked as he pees.
Who wants to join me out in the field?
Dude, come on, man. We're in the middle of a game right now.
We're scrumming over here.
Dude, there's about to be a scrum, dude. This is not cool.
But hold on, I will say this. Your ball is very clean.
Thank you.
Terry, quit praising him.
The other team's storming over right in front of me. I can't help but notice his butthole is clean.
Well,
the other team's storming after us. He gets thrown all over the place, totally nude.
How long was that? I held my breath. How long was that for?
We couldn't even time it. You were above land. You weren't even underwater.
We didn't even know you were holding your breath, Jake. What's going on? Is there something you're trying to? Is there something we need to know, Jake?
I'm trying to bond with my team. Okay, maybe we'd win a few more games if we were naked together.
We cut to therapy. He's doing the same thing in the room with just the therapist. Okay.
You want to join me over in this corner?
I'm just going to keep looking this way. I'd prefer if you were clothed, as I said before. It's a bit inappropriate.
I'm peeing in this pot.
Yeah, it's okay. And what's going on with you?
Trying to build.
What's the logic here?
The best friendships I ever had were the ones I made when I was a kid. And I think it's because we bonded over, you know, childlike, sort of vulnerable exhibitionist behavior. And I can't seem to get anybody to join me in it.
Wow.
Jake is 37 years old.
Your insight into your own perhaps traumatized psyche is pretty astute, I think.
That has to at least be 15 seconds.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Thanks for taking the self-guided tour of our, you know, cotton candy making facilities. Excuse me, sir. It seems like, you know, at the beginning I said, please don't, you know, don't jump into the vats of cotton candy. And it seems like you, I don't mean to point fingers, but you seem to be covered in cotton candy.
I mean, I thought we were all jumping in, right?
Again, I expressly said at the beginning of it, it's a self-guided tour. That's why I didn't go. I was over here trying to ship some orders. This is a mom and pop business. You take a loop around. You see how we make the cotton candy? And I said, please don't jump in.
Okay.
And I'm looking at you and I can't really even see your face.
All right. I just want to say something. Okay. I'm honestly just trying to come out of this zone. I was in shock. I was very scared. I literally almost ate too much cotton candy and got diabetes. Okay. I was on a sugar high. Things are going crazy. I was seeing old pictures of Hey Arnold and the Angry Beavers, and I didn't know where I was. Okay. These things. And when you are about to die, possibly drown and eat too much cotton candy, and the first thing you see is the Angry Beavers from Nickelodeon. What does that mean? You know, I'm trying to contemplate life in myself.
I understand.
Is there a lifeguard on duty?
There's only me here. What is it?
There's not a lifeguard.
That's what I'm saying. How do they not have a lifeguard here?
It's a cotton candy factory.
My husband did a cannonball into the cotton candy.
It says he to tried not to
eat
that.
His way out. It says to not do. What's the point in taking a cotton candy factory tour if we can't do laps, do cotton cannonballs?
I get that it's enticing, but it's dangerous, okay?
Well, he's screaming about Ren and Stimpy and old Nicktoons in there, and I don't know what to make of it.
Like the specifics are one thing, okay? I can't go into dream interpretations or what people are going to see right before they die, okay? I'm not a Jungian dream analyst. I'm just someone who owns a mom and pop cotton candy factory. And I asked you at the beginning of the tour, self-guided, jump in.
Well, I have a suggestion. Okay, don't make the cotton candy blue, okay? Choose another color besides blue.
I can see that.
Like a big vat of water to jump in.
Yeah, I can see how that if there's already a desire to maybe do it and it looks like water, it's maybe enough to push people over the edge.
Excuse me, manager, I'm ready to have my picture taken. I believe I caught the biggest cotton candy fish. So I don't know. Do I take the picture here or I don't see any other pictures on the wall, actually. Am I the first one?
So what are you deducing from that? That's not what you should be doing.
Wow. Is that a 15-pound Swedish fish?
It is a 15-pound Swedish fish. I caught it.
I think that's a world record.
That's right. I used some gummy worms and I caught it. And I would like my picture taken, maybe with like it around my head, like, oh, no.
Yeah, again, this is not where you stand and get your picture taken at any point. So
going in after my husband.
And I'm sure you have a phone. You could fucking take your own picture.
It dives in a vat.
We see she's getting bigger and bigger.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, brother.
I think Angelica wasn't as bad as the Rugrats made her out to be.
Oh, boy.
Oh, wow. She's eating a lot of cotton candy.
We cut to this couple at their destination. They had stopped at the cotton candy factory on a road trip. Oh, my goodness. You two are 8 hours late. We were waiting for you. What happened?
Well, we went to a cotton candy factory and it was not equipped with the proper safety equipment.
You know, like when Vietnam vets come back from the war and they're a little different.
Yes, I am familiar with that.
Well, I'm going to say this was worse than that.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. I really am. But my children are ready to put on their quarantine presentation of the Rugrats movie. And we waited for you to.
Wait, I forgot this.
I have no idea how to do it.
Come on, kids, believe in yourselves.
You guys are good.
You two are embarrassing me in front of our guests. You forgot the song. You don't know how to do it. Tommy Pickles wears the underwear and he keeps all his tools in there. Okay. And
then it's technically not underwear. It's a diaper.
Okay. You know what?
And this is supposed to be Phil and Lil, these two little baby dolls. I can't.
And how are you quarantined though? Sure, your naming sucks.
Also, act one, you have the babies trying to get to a blender. That's kind of wrong. Babies shouldn't try to get to a blender.
This is a sick and twisted production. We drove across state lines to be here.
Are you writing that up as your New York Times review?
Yes.
You were supposed to be here as my friends.
Well, I am also on business. Let me tell you something. Angelica, the portrayal of Angelica is a little dated.
How so?
She's like a nagging child. She's like, just wants everyone else to. She's like spoiled, kind of a gold.
You're taking umbrance with the original depiction and creation of the character.
If you're going to recreate it with actual kids,
you want us to like. erase the past, and all of a sudden, I suppose you want to censor books that aren't as culturally progressive as, you know, you New York people are all the same. We're trying to do a quarantine-inspired, authentic portrayal of the frickin' Rugrats, I guess. And you're coming in here with your liberal agenda. Get out of here.
You know, let's just take five. We'll take five. You can restart whatever you need to do with these kids. I'm going to go take a dip in the pool of caramel.
Oh, wow. Wow. I can't believe I finally made it out here, man. Thanks for taking me to the desert. You know, this is great. I've never seen anything like this. Is there like a river around here or something? Maybe a lake or like maybe the ocean? Maybe some we can jump in. It's kind of hot out here. It's kind of dry.
Nope, that's the opposite of a desert.
Wait,
it's
what?
Just kind of sandy, deserted earth as far as the eye can see.
There's no lush greenery. Maybe some trees we can climb or something like that. You know?
Nope.
Fire?
Nope. What?
Wait, what?
You said you wanted to see something unique to California, so I took you out to Death Valley.
A gust of dust comes up, and an old grizzled cowboy appears as tumbleweeds pass him. Welcome to the desert, one of the driest places there is on Earth. Here, have a glass of sand.
Would you like some sand?
Sand?
He doesn't normally drink, but maybe he'll have some sand on his vacation.
No, well, that's how we do it here in the desert. I want to
frolic in a nice, like, green field, you know?
You need to be more specific on your emails.
I don't know, man. Just my image of the desert was not this. I thought we were going to have fun.
It's a desert. Maybe. You see old cowboys, you drink sand. You wanted to have fun. Okay, we are having fun.
Josh,
the cowboy had sense, like, trotted off into the sunset, to the sun.
And there's just cowboys roaming around with the...
If you're lucky, and that was a huge opportunity, but we biffed it because you're busy talking about frolicking. I don't even know... that guy could have shown us a horse or something. That would have been the highlight of the trip.
Josh, I'm sorry. I apologize. I just wanted to... You know, I just wanted to do something fun with you, just spend some time with you. But you know what? We're here together, and that's all that really matters, you know?
Well, this is I wanted to show you California. This is where I thought to come. Do you want it? Go ahead.
It's dry and hot. Is there a volcano around? Maybe we see an active volcano, something like that?
Is there? No. There's not a volcano around.
Joshua, what the fuck are we doing out here? There's nothing out here. What is there to do? Why don't people come out here?
We're hanging out. We're experiencing the heat.
Hey, gust of dust. Sorry.
It's dusty out here.
A convertible with a couple of topless babes pulls up. Hey, boys. You want to come hang out? Excuse me?
We're doing desert stuff, okay?
What the fuck, Josh?
God, those topless babes almost ruined our time.
Josh,
what were they even doing out here? Go to Malibu, topless babes.
I mean, you're right. I mean, there are topless babes everywhere, but damn, Josh.
A couple of pantsless boys pull up in a Jeep Wrangler. Hey!
Damn. They're with the babes. It's a whole people are titty fucking people all over the place in Malibu.
I want my titties fucked.
What? That's not what I expected you to say. I mean, don't say that in front of these bottomless boys unless you want to have a whole different Death Valley experience.
Well, Josh, I want to experience something. This is nothingness. There's literally nothing out here.
Hey, I'm one of these topless boys. Don't judge your friend, okay?
Topless.
If he wants, don't relegate titty fucking to whatever your heteronormative concept is, okay?
Okay, God, this is why I didn't want to get into it with them. Your bottomless boys are two cars ahead. Can we get away from the freeway? I don't know where these lost haveless people are, but I don't want any part of it.
Okay. I just thought if we were going to do mushrooms, there was going to be at least something to look at.
That's distracting. God, titty fucking on mushrooms is like reading a book on acid. It's just, there's better stuff to do. Okay. Let's just do some mushrooms. Okay. We'll experience the dry desert like you've never had before. We'll move a little bit away from the freeway so we're not tempted to do titty fucking or any other kind of hand or mouth stuff. All right. Now
we cut to later that night. Why is it so cold, man? I only brought shorts and tank tops.
It's the desert. It gets cold at night. Okay.
What? I thought it was hot and dusty out here. Now it's cold. I'm freezing.
I got to show you Google. You got to get on Google.
A couple of sleeping bags pull up in a van. Hey, boys. Want to get inside us?
Yes. No.
Yes. Josh.
Beat it.
The cowboy from before rolls back into town. Hey, man, I was just reading a book. On acid.
What?
Wait, were you reading a book while on acid or reading a book about acid?
It's exactly like titty fucking on mushrooms.
Put some chaps on.
Sir, may I get on this horse with you? Please take me away.
Fine by me.
Josh, you're on your own, buddy. Now listen, just put that thumb out. I'm sure somebody will pull up maybe a couple of camels, you know, maybe a couple of I don't know. This is just a wacky, crazy world, Josh. And
or Josh, you could join me in this mirage. I took off my swimsuit.
This guy again. I'll take you home and shine you bright like a diamond. I'll
take you home. All right, let's get back to the meat part of the podcast where a guest shares a true meaty story from their life. Scott, you are up. What would you like to talk about?
Hey, it's Scott. I'm back with a brand new meaty story. You know what that means, folks. I'm a third timer here. This story is meaty. Yum.
We usually add that stuff in post, but thank you.
Medium rare. A little bit of blood. A little bit of Monica in my lap. That's what I made. Bezos' ringtone. That's all I could think of. Should have been Smash Mouth. Okay, I'm Scott, and I'm going to tell a story. My story, it's a bit of an LA story. No, not the Steve Martin film with Sarah Jessica Parker. Just Los Angeles, you know. Sure, our entertainment industry is a bit of a standstill, but, you know, I've lived in LA, kicked around, and this just was a funny little, there's some funny little details in here. So one acting job I got was on a pilot that was a hidden camera type show where musical, like celebs and musicians went incognito, as it were. I'm not going to ever say what it specifically was, just
so I don't immediately ask you, because I was gonna.
Is it okay if I say what it is?
I think so.
No one really cares, right? Okay, so there was a Funny or Die sketch that this guy, Eric Appel, directed that they then were going to make into a pilot. And it was called Undercover Karaoke. So it was bits where musicians would go, like, be dressed up in prosthetics and such, and then they would go and sing their own songs in karaoke. And people would be like, whoa, that sounds like Jewel, because it's Jewel singing Jewel at, like, a karaoke bar, right? And so
that sounds like Funny or Die's MO back then.
Right, for like sure. I know
a
that
loose concept around a celebrity.
Well, our buddy Joe Hartzler did one of these segments, too, where it was 50 Cent. And so 50 Cent did, like, but the one that I did was Adam Levine from Maroon 5. And so me and Alex Berg, you know, from Convoy, if you got some improv heads out there, he's a cool dude. But he and I were hired to go undercover as this guy's friend. So Adam Levine put on full, like, prosthetics, fake nose, eyes. He had, like, a wig, you know, dressed, like, in flannels. And you really could not tell it was him, but it was Adam Levine. And we were at, it was, I think it's called like the Gas Lamp or something, or Gaslight. It's a Gaslight. It's in Santa Monica. I don't know how well you guys know your karaoke, West LA karaoke bars, but it's a pretty well-known karaoke spot. But so my job was to be this guy's buddy and try to get people to talk to us, because they had put a bunch of hidden cameras in this place. And it was like a night, a very busy night. And we had to, I had an earpiece in, they were telling me things. I couldn't hear it all the time, but Adam Levine, he was like nice enough when I met him. And then it was so interesting because he was really paranoid that people were going to recognize him. But if you saw him, he had just a huge prosthetic nose and like cheekbones and like full beard and even like glass. I don't know if he had glasses or not, but you couldn't tell it was anybody, you know, but he remained worried that they were going to find out that it was him. But it was a tough thing because it's hard. My job was basically to try to convince people and ladies at the bar to come and talk to us and hang out with us.
Why the heck didn't I get this gig? It makes no sense.
Well, part of it was scary because that's hard to do in real life.
Yeah.
It's hard to just be like, let me go in this crowded place and just start flirting with people and get them to respond and then like talk to my other friend. It was scary. It was like, it's hard to do, you know?
Scott, and let's have a little bit of honesty here. What? You're the same guy who was once had a, I believe, mm-hmm. a menage a trois proposed to you just from some girls who saw you walking down Sunset.
When was this?
I feel like you told me that. No. Maybe not. We can cut this out.
Yeah, that's just your dream of me. That's the life you like to think that I've lived, and I haven't. I mean, maybe here and there. I lost my train of thought here.
My bad.
What am I talking about? No, well, also because they made me wear like a cross earring on my right ear, and like they dressed me up like a real, like I look like a total fool too, you know, like a ding dong. But I'll tell you, the waitress came over to us, cocktail waitress, and I'm sitting there with Adam Levine, incognito. And our waitress looks at him and goes, I think I recognize you. And like, I knew that he was worried about being recognized. And so my move to deter her attention from him was to put it on her and say, you look familiar to me, to make it about her. First thing out of her mouth. Yeah, I do porn. So you probably recognize me from doing porn. And I was like, oh, right on. And so like, she must have not known or something that she was potentially about to be on a TBS pilot either. I don't know what they didn't like prep everybody. Everyone didn't know they were on a show. And so it was one of those things where I'm doing footage for what might be a pilot with Adam Levine. And this gal's going, I'm a porn star. Me and my sister both do porn. And da 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 da. She told me what her porn name was, she has a sister that's doing porn too. And also it's like, what am I supposed to say to that? Cause I don't want to be like, you are a cocktail waitress and doing porn, you know, like that's great. You know, like business must be, you know, like I didn't want to be a dick and be like, you're doing porn and you will still have to wait tables. You know what I mean? Like, because I think in some level us as actors, it's like, there's that old fake cliche of, well, I'll go and do porn to make some actual money for a day of work or whatever, but
or lose some in my case.
And did I look this person up later on? Yeah, I did. I looked her up, and I've seen some of her work and her sister's work. That's but that's the funny thing about doing that experience is he got up there and sang a Maroon 5 song perfectly. That's part of the gag of the show is everyone's like, whoa, that moment of who's that person singing that song so great. And then, he came back after he took the makeup off, and it was Chris Hardwick was the host of the show. And he came out and like to everyone in the bar and was like, hey, everybody, you remember that person from before? It's actually Adam Levine. And he came out and sang more Maroon 5 songs as Adam Levine, but it's so
and karaoke.
Fun. Yes. And then they interview people at the end. Like that's one of the last bits. And it's so funny because people are just drunk people doing karaoke. So they, many people didn't put two and two together that like that person that sang Maroon 5 perfectly. His name was like Bubba or whatever. And he had a weird wig and beard and nose and then came back and Adam Levine was there and Chris Hardwick introduced Adam Levine. People still didn't get it. People were like, what? Adam Levine was that guy too? Like people don't get it. They're too, you know, they're just out there trying to have karaoke fun. Maybe some of that's LA too, where people are like, yeah, sure. Okay, Adam Levine sang a song. I don't know. But for whatever reason, I thought there were some funny little odd little details.
What kind of but stuff did you have to do while you were waiting? Like I know you talked to the waitress slash adult film star, but like what was like the like what were they trying to get? Were you trying, was that your time to shine? Like doing like the
sort of, yeah, it was, I was trying to wrangle people to talk to him. Really? It was like,
I see.
Hey, you know, like I'm here with my friend, frickin' whatever his name is, Bubba. And like, why don't you come back to our table? Cause there were cameras like hidden in the booths and stuff like that. So I think they wanted footage of people interact, having conversations with them. You know, and so I tried to wrangle some people to like sit across from them and be like, you know, they wanted like people and girls or whatever to be chatting, but not knowing it's him. And then maybe there's a reveal or something. But, you know, the show never got picked up. But because I used to go see I used to go see Maroon 5 a lot when they were called Kara's Flowers. They were a band called Kara's Flowers. Most of the core people had a major label release when they were like still in high school and then kind of were in between labels for years. I saw them at the farmer's market. You know, I used to see them play for like 50 people all the time, 100 people, them and Phantom Planet. This is kind of early aughts LA shows, you know, but it was always like, man, this band is really good. They were always so good. And they made a conscious decision to go pop. They were like, okay, we're going to write pop songs and become famous and big, you know, because they have such talent. They're very good musicians, but it was interesting to see a band that was kind of a local little band.
One second.
So consciously make a decision to be like, we're going to become a huge pop.
We're going to make a bunch of money. Yeah, I just think it's funny that nobody thought about the logistics and the fact that people are drinking and doing karaoke. I feel like maybe obviously Adam wants to like look his best on camera when he as like himself, but I feel like you have to do the reveal at least like a minute or two after the song. So then people can see him like at least like pull the wig off.
To see the process. Like, I think that's what's like, missing. Okay. Yeah.
And then go back and get yourself all together and come back out. Cause I feel like I would, yeah, for sure. Be like, okay, What just happened? Like,
oh, yeah, it's missing a piece.
But that's funny. Did you guys pull any girls to talk to him at all? Or
I mean, maybe I can't even remember. I think I sort of did, you know. But that was one of the hardest. I've had a couple hard acting jobs like that where it's like hidden camera stuff can be very hard unless you have to be wired to do it. You know, because it's scary, you know, it's not acting. Because I did one other hidden camera thing that was a prank on a UFC fighter in their gym in Arizona. And I had to walk in there in like SWAT gear and question him about like drugs that are in his gym. Yeah, this was a College Humor thing. I flew out to, maybe I should have told this story, but I'll tell you the quick summation of it. I got obliterated the night before. So much so that I was deathly ill the day of shooting. So I'm hungover as I've ever been in my life. And I got to be a cop. I had a mustache at the time that helped me. I had to walk into this UFC fighter's gym with like cameras everywhere, secret cameras. Cause one guy was like punking the other guy, pranking him. This is for like Diet Dr. Pepper or some bullshit. Like
a little sweet.
This didn't come out either because it was like weirdly mean. It like wasn't as funny as they intended. But I had to walk in there and kind of question this guy. And the first thing out of his mouth when I'm like, yeah, one of your trainers, we got rumor of some drugs and stuff coming in here. And the first thing out of his mouth was, Yeah, we handled that though. Like a guy was, and so it was like the first thing out of this guy's mouth was admitting there's been drug issues in his gym. And it was like, wait, what's going on? Like, I wasn't expecting that. I was supposed to just intimidate this guy. But, and then at the end of the prank was me going, no, like get on the ground and freaking, you know, you'd never do it these days, but.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I had to call in a SWAT team. So it was like 10 dudes that you and I would know from our various days.
At improvisers?
UC. Yes.
Like, just like bigger improvisers?
It was like Marshall Givens and like other people like this, that like people, you know from this extended kind of comedy actor world that we were sort of in, all dressed in SWAT gear, swarming in. It was so crazy. And we had to like do it one more time,
dude.
do the reveal one more time so that they could get other footage or him kind of being like, oh, ha ha ha, okay. But it was such a misguided thing that.
Also, that's like a dangerous situation. SWAT team members are like trained to deal with if things go bad. You don't just like, dress them up like the SWAT team and say we're raiding you.
This is I mean, it was however many years ago, 8 years ago or something, but it was something totally stupid and misguided that never should have happened. And I've never seen the footage. My friend, the producer, was like, you could see it if you want, you know, and I was just kind of like, that's one of the worst days of my life. I was ill. I was ill.
Yeah.
Hungover, like, ill. And then I just
worried about getting your ass beat. By UFC fighter?
Not super worried.
I guess if you're SWAT, like they probably aren't gonna try to fight a SWAT member, but like
all it takes
is one member of the gym to be like, I'm not going back to jail, and like you don't know what could happen.
And like, this was in it was in Arizona. They have guns in Arizona. We drove all the way out to Arizona.
Yeah, Arizona
to do it. Well, because it was like, we went to a Phoenix Suns game the night before. We were living it up. We were in Tempe, just like at the college bars, and I got totally obliterated and woke up the next day just ill. So ill.
That's such an era of, I guess, both of our experiences with comedy in LA. It was just like a website-based comedy thing, pranks. Pays nothing, but you get a night in a hotel, or you just get like, oh, I get to work with Adam Levine. Yeah, I'll go be a liar at a bar. Like,
yeah, you don't realize they're pranking you the whole time.
Yeah, it very well could be.
They're like, you don't know, but the budget for this is $600,000, and we're paying you $125,000.
Yeah,
it'll get 10 million views, and you get $125. Thanks, everybody.
I've said it before, and I'll say it again. What? Just on behalf of me, fuck Funny or Die. I worked there for 2.5 years.
There's a big, that's a large sentiment these days. It's tough, you know, because we all got effed by the bigger thing of whatever this corporate America is. It's like, this is how you frame your business and construct it, and this is how profit happens, and they just did it to all of us. You know, they're able to do it to all of us. Just go, they want to do it, they want to do the videos, and I don't know. Yeah, it just sucks. They could have easily just freaking taken some of the excess and given it to us.
Yeah, to the people,
because even the people that work there, it's like, that's what's so sad, I think, is like, you end up getting had by your own friends, you know, mm-hmm. where like they're trying to just have a job too, and they're making some salary, but like we're all being had by, you know, the
when I left Funny or Die
infrastructure,
I realized I was making more as a post-production assistant at for the Discovery Channel, and I was there for 2.5 years.
Yeah.
Anyway, did you have something, Leonard? Sorry.
I was just thinking, I was just going to ask, was Steve Nash at least still playing on the Suns, or like, was he?
Well, when did he retire? When did he retire?
He went to the Lakers in 2012.
Right. This was, maybe he was still playing. Honestly, I was so, I'll have to think of what year it is and we can figure it out. So he was probably,
I'm like looking around for the positives in this.
Well, Steve Nash, yeah, for sure. Steve Nash just got named head coach of the Brooklyn Nets today. Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
I don't know if we're all basketball heads here in different ways, but
basketball fans.
Man, it's it's basketball is playing such a huge role in our society and our culture right now. It's pretty amazing. And it's also just giving, maybe you guys too, giving me life, you know, just to have it be going on. Even when they were going to maybe not go on, that I thought that was awesome too. Just like the fact Same. That they're just going for it. And it's beautiful. And in the face of such continued, you know, idiocy from other people, it's amazing to see, you know, or you're just like, oh, you can do anything and have as much clear logic and love as you can, but people are still going to respond in the same dumb ways. It's yeah. scary. You know,
it's frustrating.
The white kid with the freaking AR-15 can truly go, oh, this person's a hero. That's how backwards we are right now. It's really scary. I think it's like, oh, these people aren't. They're in a different world, you know?
But yeah, it's like willful ignorance on another level. I'm talking real shit.
Scott, thanks for sitting down and meeting with me.
My pleasure, Jake.
As you know, I'm an agent with the FBI, and you are a aspiring
agent
actor.
Agent Jake, sorry.
Yeah, Agent Jake, that works. Okay. Something about your most recent prank uncovered a bit of drug running at the Pier 1 imports. So we're going to need for you to continue.
No, don't say this. I hated that acting job and I didn't get paid much.
I know
that was totally unintentional, Agent Jake. I it was just a way for me to kind of riff with this person, and they admitted all this stuff. So I don't want to do this. Can I say that?
I know that you don't want to do it, but the country is depending on you. So we aren't going to be able to pay you more because we think that that probably factors into the recipe for you being relatable to these Pier 1 employees who are running drugs. So we're still going to need you to go in there about once a week, you know, with your wet pee-pee pants and asking if they've seen your mommy, because it seems to loosen them up to revealing more information about the drug running.
Yeah, and then okay, I'm not a yes yet. I just want to make that clear. Okay. We can keep talking about it, but I'm not a yes yet, and we'll get to the specifics of what you're having me do in there as well, because I have some discrepancies with that as well.
Okay,
but let me talk. Can we still go on this yes or no thing? Because I don't like the country. Is that an option? Can I be like, I'm not trying to help the country? Do I have a right to do that?
You absolutely have a right.
Okay, I'm going to get going.
You're going to leave?
Can I leave? Can I?
Look, I can't hold you here.
You're not going to put out that. You're not going to put out that compromising information about me, are you?
Look, are we the FBI? Might we let some information slip out, compromising information?
Dude, possibly. I can't. Don't do that to me. My mom.
Did you mention that there's
my
mom? You get to stay for free for two nights in a hotel in San Jose.
Yeah, you still get the two nights in a San Jose.
All right, fine. For free. Fine, I'll do it. Okay, so can we move on to what I'm actually doing?
Yes,
I would. I love sport. I got to be honest. That's one of my favorite things to do in life, is to see professional sports in different cities that I don't live in. It's awesome. And so,
well, eat your heart out. You can do that as long as we just need you to recreate the prank man. At Agent various Jake. Pier 1.
Agent Jake, I'm a grown man. You know this. You can see this.
We cut to Pier 1. We see Scott with piss pants enter all hungover.
Oh, this guy with his fucking pants pissed again. What's going on, little guy? How you doing?
I'm not a little guy.
Too much to drink last night.
In his ear, because you want your mommy.
I want my mommy.
Oh, look at me right now. Hey guys, stop with those drugs for a second. Stop doing that over there. Hold on. What? It's just this little punk little kid who pisses his pants. This guy's
put my hand over my water.
Harmless. He's harmless.
Ixnay on the Uggs tray. Ixnay on the Uggs tray.
You want some Uggs? We don't have Uggs here, man.
No, Ireway. I have an Ireway.
I ask him to sing you a lullaby and to bring you to the back.
Will you sing me a lullaby and bring me to the back?
Oh, someone feeling bad.
Cut to the back. There's guys weighing out bricks of cocaine, tattoos and stuff, putting them on trucks. Yeah, this is a perfect crime.
Yeah, yeah. Stop with the bricks. Stop with the kilos. We're gonna send this little guy here a little lullaby. We're gonna make his day a little better. Okay.
Is he sleepy?
Those guys have tattoos. You can tell they're drug runners.
Where's his mommy?
I'm looking for my mommy.
Nice. That's why we get improvisers for stuff like this.
Willing to do anything.
Well, listen, I don't know about your mom, but if she likes cocaine, she's probably here. But if she doesn't,
she does.
She's not here. She does.
She's part to get of the compromising information.
Compromising information.
I meant competition information. Competition information. Do you like sports?
Oh yeah, I love sports.
You love sports. Go Sharks.
Yeah, I'm not a. You know what? I can't do this. Listen, FBI guy. I can't do this. This
baby's really sleepy. Let's put him to bed. He seems like he's having.
No, I'm not a baby.
Waking hallucination here.
I'm sorry.
On my lap.
You guys, you're being way too open about. No, stop. You're being way too open about the drug running.
Wait.
When the wind falls,
the wind falls. Those aren't the words.
And the ball breaks. We see Scott's getting actually a little sleepy. Cradle will fall.
As he's falling asleep, his skull cap falls off of his head, revealing a head full of hair. What the hell is going on here?
Hi, I'm Ashton Kutcher.
I'm not going back to jail.
Ashton Kutcher and I'm totally obliterated.
We cut to the back to LA, back to the production office. There's three more excited improvisers. So what's the gig?
Well, we need you. Now let me start with the perks. Two nights at a hotel near a stadium that is probably playing sports.
In.
Great. Good.
What's the gig? Do we get to meet a celebrity?
You might. You ever heard of Rebecca Gayhart, a famous Maxim magazine cover girl?
From the Noxzema commercials in the early 90s?
That's right.
I think she was on like Felicity or some shit.
I'm definitely telling my aunts and uncles about this at Thanksgiving. Go ahead.
I'm only like 20 years old, so I don't know what the hell you guys are talking about, but I'm willing to do this for sure. Just, can I just one quick question though? Mm-hmm. Is it safe for me to put this footage on my reel? Is that cool?
We might have to redact parts of the footage, but we promise we'll get you some clean shots, reaction shots, things that you can include in your reel.
That's all I needed to hear.
Stop asking questions, Leonard. You're going to blow it.
It's $125 plus a free lunch, and you get copy and credit.
Free lunch. Oh, yes.
Yeah. Okay. And many of the top comedy producers in Los Angeles are going to see it and jack off to it. Sorry.
I will say this. I mean, we're in Mobile, right? So what is this going to be, like a AAA baseball stadium or something that we're going to be near? AA baseball stadium?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
Josh, you cool with AAA baseball?
Hey, if the guys are getting paid at all, I'm in. I once did a prank show for Break.com at an intramural basketball game.
Okay.
Where I dressed up my butt like a pinata and everyone took turns.
That's
hitting.
Not far off from this. You guys are familiar with the term honeypot?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right. I'm not. What is it?
It's where you seduce a high-level government agent with the promise of sex to get incriminating evidence or information.
And we have to do it in a three-person horse costume? Cut to the CIA headquarters in Mobile.
Why do I have to be the ass? I didn't want to be the ass.
Oh, it's no picnic okay. being in the middle either.
Well, okay, hello guys,
we can't
there.
Talk. We're supposed to be a horse.
Hello there. Mind if I buy you a drink or possibly a handful of feed? Would you like to eat the horse out of my hand?
The horse's hoof caresses his hair, caresses Jake's hair.
My goodness, that feels better than the time we scammed a country out of their weapons and goods.
We see it in the van. That's why we hire improvisers. It's hoof move.
All right, guys. I've got 4 tickets to the Phoenix Suns game. Now, I know Steve Nash has been traded. And Joe Johnson is hurt, and the starting center is boycotting the game. But hey, it's still professional basketball, right? They're playing the Charlotte Bobcats, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's a game. That's true. Yeah. There's not many other people here.
Is Dave and Buster's open?
As we're all basketball enthusiasts, you don't want to see an NBA basketball game?
Who's playing? Who's the point guard for the Hornets? Is it Rozier?
It says Jet. Yeah, Rose.
No, Jet the Hornets are in New Orleans. This is 2010. We're going to see the Charlotte Bobcats.
And they're playing.
What is wrong with me? my head is crazy. I'm sorry.
We see Josh's head like just starting to like pulsate.
Josh, okay, Rozier will be a player on the cover.
Hold on,
dude. Blake Rozier will one day play for the Charlotte Hornets. What am I saying?
Jesus Christ!
You okay, Josh?
Sorry, guys.
Nothing. You all right, bro?
Yeah, we just have headaches sometimes, and I see
crazy.
You see the future?
I see premonitions about meaning, like sort of
meaningless basketball.
Yeah, meaningless knowledge? Basketball stuff that won't.
It's tough for me because I don't follow the NBA as much these days.
Yeah, well,
these days as in 2010 or in the future?
No, right now, 2010. I think in the future I'm going to get back into it.
Okay.
But this is sort of a window where I'm not as into the NBA. I don't know as many specifics right now. See, I can talk about Kevin Johnson and Dan Majerle all day long.
Oh man, what would I do to see Kevin Johnson and Dan Majerle right now? But it's okay. We're about to see the Phoenix Suns play the Charlotte Bobcats, and there literally is no absolute stars, and it's probably going to be about an 83-91 game. But hey, we're here, okay, guys.
It seems like a lot of the players, yeah, a lot of people are gone or not really here. I don't recognize any of these players. I don't think it's me. It seems to be the coach of the team is.
It's Michael Jordan. That's right.
That's Michael Jordan. I recognize Michael Jordan. Yeah. See, he's recognizable to me as a basketball fan, even as not a basketball fan.
Okay, I lied. That's not Michael. Oh.
What's that?
Michael Jordan winks at Scott.
Wow. Okay. Well, whatever. I guess I do recognize some people.
Cut to Michael Jordan's hotel room and Scott.
This is awesome, man.
Check it out.
My hero.
I got a piano in here.
Holy shit. Do you know how to play?
No.
You don't.
But people listen to me.
Not pizza delivery.
Oh, pizza's here. You gonna get it or should?
There's six guys at the door.
You look to the people.
Whoa.
This seems suspicious.
Hey, whoa. Is that Michael Jordan? Oh, Michael? It's Michael.
Michael Jordan. Dude, star of space. I heard about this game.
No. This happens all the time.
Is this the flu? Are they going to try and give you the food poisoning flu?
It's a roll of the dice. Sometimes it's good pizza. Sometimes it's people give me the flu. I'll open.
Oh, hello? Wait, one second.
Sorry, one second.
Just close the door real quick.
Yeah.
I don't want you to open the door.
Listen, all right. Don't forget, this is a honeypot situation. We're all going to try to have an orgy with Michael Jordan and get out the information.
Wait, what? I thought I was dropping off a poison pizza.
No, no, no. The poison pizza is just is a part of the scam, okay?
There's five more of you. What do you need me for? How many men could Michael Jordan need?
We're trying to have a sept sum.
Okay? We're trying to give Michael Jordan an experience he's never had, okay? And I don't think he's had sex with six other men.
I'm sure you could have stopped at 4 or 5. What do I got to be here for?
We went to 7.
Why'd I make that pizza?
Jake, do you want to fuck Michael Jordan or not, Jake?
One-on-one setting, but I don't want to jump into a septuple. The guy,
Jake, you think you're that special? You think you're special enough to have sex with Michael Jordan one-on-one, Jake?
Well, I'm just worried that I'm not going to get any attention if there's 6 other guys around here. I'm worried he's going to be hogging the balls the whole time.
another guy in the back. I think there was another guy already in there. I think he was in the room with another gentleman. So it's going to be like an 8-way, basically.
Octagon.
I could definitely go home. I could get out of here.
Hey, I'm one of the other guys. If you want to leave, then fucking go, dude.
Thank you. God, you think I could explain that to my boyfriend? Oh,
you don't
sorry.
Have to
I just
have a gangbang.
Michael Jordan and 6 other dudes. I know we haven't kissed open mouth yet. Okay, I can't. That's going to be too hard. And can I take this? Well, actually, I can't take this pizza. It's food poisoning.
Yeah. Go take the pizza if you want.
We all rubbed our balls on this pizza, okay?
What? Why did you have me figure out a way to come up with a light poison that tasted like cheese if you're going to rub your balls over everything? I feel like I'm
getting... I want to be inside Michael Jordan in multiple ways, okay? Oh,
exactly. God. Duh. The logic carries. The logic holds up.
Hey, we're
put
6.
A little bit of poison on your balls in hopes that MJ does some ball licking.
Before we go in, should we warm up?
Man, gangbang.
Let's start jerking. Let's pull these pants down. Let's get ready. We should
warm up. Zip.
Zap.
Zap.
All right, so that'll do it for this week's episode of the Meat Improv. Thanks for being on, fellas. Appreciate you coming on.
That was so much fun.
Thanks for letting us be here.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Of course. So we're going to go around and we'll let you plug whatever you like now. Leonard, let's start with you. What would you like to tell people about?
You can catch me on social media at The Leonard Smith Jr., Lemon Pepper Wet LA. I have a podcast coming out. I'm releasing this week, Film Versus Film, with me and my Lotions 11 teammate, Quinn Boyes. So look out for that. Lemon Pepper Wet, we're putting out a bunch of stuff. We got a show coming out, Where the Wings At? We're trying to find the best wings in LA. Also, look out for that.
Now, I just have a quick question, because I go, is this the Lemon Pepper in reference to Wingstop? Or just any Lemon Pepper?
No, yeah, it's lemon. So in Atlanta, there's Lemon Pepper Wet is basically an Atlanta thing. It's like you can get your lemon pepper wings with buffalo sauce, or like maybe like a olive oil type sauce, or so. Mm-hmm. It's not just like dry lemon pepper. It's like lemon pepper with a wet sauce on it. Normally buffalo. If you go to like a JR Crickets, it's called Sanchez there. I'm a big wing fan. Lemon pepper is probably my favorite flavor. I love the lemon pepper wet, and just paying homage to the wings.
Perfect. That's great. Just awesome. I was wondering if I was missing out on something, because I'm familiar with lemon pepper, but not lemon pepper wet. So it sounds like I am missing out on something.
Yeah, and the first episode we started with the most pretty much basic wings you could get, and we did Wingstop. So, but nice. If y'all have any wing suggestions on what you think are the best wings in LA, I would love to hear that.
Great.
Anytime. Eat rustic, depending on the day. But
that's actually what we're doing on the second episode, is eat rustic in.
There you go. Scott?
Yes. What kind of wings do I like, is what you want to know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I like all kind of wings, and my wife and I have been on a wing kick, as I said to you guys. And also focusing in on Korean fried chicken. So Korean wings, a lot of great. You know, they have a sweet and spicy, there's some great wing spots that we've been hitting in Koreatown. as far as me, if you, anyone wants to look on their social, their phones and see things I've done, Instagram is Mr. Scott Rogers, spelled out M-I-S-T-E-R and then Scott R-O-D-G-R-S. Twitter's Mr. Scott Rogers, but that's just M-R Scott Rogers. I have a podcast that has been down for a bit, but we're going to be doing some distanced recordings at the end of this month. It's called Jam Space. It's currently on the Starburns Network, but there's a lot of backlog of episodes there. It's, we talk about music and aliens, and we freestyle rap and freestyle songs, and that's me. And yeah, you want to come on, Leonard?
Please let me come on to this show.
Yeah, I would love to. It's hosted by Colton Dunn, Janine Hogan, and myself. And yeah, it's a great time, and we're going to be doing, because our engineer and musician resident Alex Burke has a recording studio in his backyard, and so we can do this like distanced backyard, because you know we loop songs and freestyle together, so it's hard to do on Zoom. So we're
going
to be doing it. So there'll be, because I'm also turning 40 at the end of September, and so I I often will coerce people to do something creative around my birthday. So we're going to have some weekend recording sessions there. So check that out. And but yeah, if you look me up, my social media, I got a lot of short films I've written, directed, whatever, you know, I'm out there. So that's cool. Me. Yeah.
Awesome. Jake.
Check out We Improv shows at twitch.tv/We Improv. Leonard's Team Lotions 11 is up every Tuesday. And if you go to the Facebook page, the links to for the Zooms are there if you want to come and jam with us. That's all I got right now.
Oh, I got one awesome. More. I'm putting out a solo album. It's coming. I'm going to be...
Hell yeah.
I'm going to make a music video or two currently. And... So I'll put out a single or two from it. But yeah, I've just been making this solo album during all this quarantine stuff in my garage. I play multiple instruments and just kind of been making all these songs up. So, you know, hopefully before the election, I will have, you know, so at least some singles, if not the whole kind of mini album I'm working on. So check that out.
That's great.
On social media too. I'll point to that. Yeah.
Let me know if you need a harmonica guy or whatever. I can get in there.
Okay.
I'm at Mr. Josh Simpson on Twitter, Josh Simpson on Instagram. Nothing really new to promote here. Just check out the social media. And that's it. The Meat is on all the platforms at The Meat Improv. Tell a friend if you like the show. That's how we get a lot of new listeners, is just people who love improv telling other people who like improv. And that's it. Thank you so much for listening. Stay safe out there. We'll see you next time.
Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.